Sober on Purpose is the podcast that takes you beyond clean to fulfilling your dreams. Other programs get you sober. We ask, what's next? Come thrive with us.
Hello, beloveds. I thought we'd do this just a little differently today. Forgiveness really begs the question of who you are and who God is. So we're going to do a little more scripture, be a little more cozy. And I'd like to start with prayer. Please join me. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you that you laid it on my heart to reach out to folks and say, hey, God is really there for you. And even in the darkest of situations around addiction, around addictive behaviors, around use, around family, God is there. Thank you for your love. Thank you for all that you bring to us. Bless every word that comes out of my mouth, and let the persons who need to hear this hear it. And let those who are going to hear it later discern what's important for them. Lord, I lay your blessing on all those who are able to reach out, to love the ones that they care about, to be with those who are really struggling. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this. Amen. So as we're looking at forgiveness, let's start with what forgiveness is not. So it sometimes comes off as a funny joke, but unforgiveness is like taking a poison pill and expecting somebody else to die. It is such a struggle to look at that and see, you know, what is for me and what is not for me. And as we look at this, forgiveness is really in the spiritual realm. God has a lot to say about forgiveness. Let me give you just a couple scriptures that we've got. Romans 3, 23, 24. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so that he can show grace to all of us. So there's no one of us that doesn't need his grace and mercy. There is nobody who has it all figured out. The Pharisees tried to live by the law. The Sadducees tried to live by the law. Jesus came to complete the law, but nobody can actually complete that. So, beloveds, I really want to talk to you today about this piece of forgiveness and why this is so much for you and not really for the person you're forgiving. And I think one of the things that we forget is forgive and forget is not scriptural. It's nowhere in there. You're not going to find it. If you did this, it would mean that you'd forgotten that you had forgiven and that you would go back and talk about this all over again. So forgive and forget is not scriptural at all. And forgiving doesn't say that the action was okay. In fact, you can forgive and still hold people accountable. You can forgive and it doesn't make the wrong right. That's one thing that when you begin to understand that, it changes everything. Forgiveness is not about saying it's okay. Forgiveness is not about reconciliation. Sometimes this does not need to happen. It is a dividing line, and there needs to be a boundary set, and there needs to be some clear determination on respect and responsibility and possibly going your separate ways. So I think this is where AA and Al-Anon get it right, is if making amends would harm you or someone else, it is probably not God's timing to do that. The other thing is, it is not for the other person. It's to set you free, beloved. It's to set you up so that you are able to live your life in the present rather than living in the past. If we are constantly, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this, working through our grievance story, saying, I'm identifying that I got hurt in this divorce and I lost all kinds of money, and I don't get to see my kids as often as I want to, or I have to share my kids with the co-parent. And it's 20 years later, and that's the story you tell when somebody meets you. I shake your hand and I say, hi, I'm Tanya. And you tell me who you are. Maybe we exchange what we do, but then you launch into how you were wronged in this divorce. That's become an identity piece. You are not free. You are still living in the past, not living in the present. Forgiveness is also part of setting boundaries. So we talked about guilt and shame. You know, guilt is when you have a behavior that has wronged someone. Shame is when you are bad. Guilt is a flare that something needs to be corrected. Anger is a flare that something needs to be corrected. Forgiveness, listen really closely to this. Forgiveness also says a boundary was crossed. To be able to offer you trust again, I have to go through this pause and forgiveness, and then I have to decide where these boundaries need to be again. And so I am building trust. Have you ever put those two together? I am building trust by giving forgiveness, building trust. The flare of guilt, the flare of anger has gone up, and now we're building trust by giving forgiveness. Isn't that amazing? I mean, whoever thought that was part of it, you know, that's just crazy, absolutely crazy. And then as we do that, so we've got forgiveness, the boundary rebuilt, the trust rebuilt. Forgiveness is a process. I'm going to read this directly to you. Forgiveness is the process of reframing one's anger from the past. Okay, we know that anger kills, and hanging on to anger can often turn into depression. So we're letting that emotion pass through us. Forgiveness is the process of reframing the anger from the past with the goal of recovering one's peace in the present. And here's something that I picked up. It's a story that's going around the internet, picked it off from another person. Think about this. All right, what if I had you go out and buy a bag of potatoes? So you bought a bag of potatoes, maybe you bought 10 potatoes, and I also had you buy a plastic bag, right? So you bought a plastic bag and you bought a bag of potatoes, okay? And as you are buying the bag of potatoes, you're taking them out and you're writing on them the names of the people that have wronged you. Uncle so-and-so, boss so-and-so, my used-to-be friend Janet, my other friend Sally. You're writing all those on there. So you're writing all these people that you are not forgiving, that you're holding a grudge against, and you're putting all these potatoes in this plastic bag. Okay? Hopefully you've had an experience with potatoes. If you put them in a plastic bag, so I've asked you to seal up this plastic bag and throw it over your shoulder and carry it with you for the next 2 weeks. At night, you have to set it by your bed and you have to unseal it. When you go to a restaurant, you have to set it next to you and unseal it. When you do give a presentation, you have to set that bag next to you on the podium. It is with you. This is this 10 potato bag, maybe not super heavy. Maybe you need 30 potatoes to write all those names down, but you're sitting it in this plastic bag. And what is it doing? What exactly is it doing when it's in this plastic bag? It's molding. It's getting mushy. It's becoming this mash and this gooey, awful, putrefied, just mess, right? Eventually, if you've ever seen a rotten potato, it will get squishy and it will stink and it will turn black. And it just is awful. So you're carrying this bag around. Eventually, it will become slushy and just a mush that sits with you. It's like that extra 10 pounds in the middle of it, just sits there. So you are not free from the past. In fact, you are continuing to live there instead of live in the present. And what are we offered? By God, we're not offered yesterday. We're not offered tomorrow. We are here right now. So as we look at this, I've got another scripture for you. And this is the classic one. Peter comes to Jesus, and we all know Peter. He wants a straight line and he wants to make it work. Peter comes to Jesus and he says, how many times should we forgive? Seven? And Jesus says, no, 70 times seven. So 149, are we there? You know, whatever the math is, I think I've done the math wrong, but whatever the math is, you know, Peter's mind is clicking along. Should it just be this number, this number, this number, and then I walk away? Well, no, forgiveness is about you. So again, let's separate out forgive and forget. That's not scriptural. We don't forgive and forget. We don't forgive and reconcile if it's not appropriate, but we do forgive to get ourselves out of that mushy potato past so that we can go on and live in the future. And forgiveness is giving up. This is a very selfish act. Forgiveness is giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. Most of us don't think of ourselves that way, that when we are short with somebody, when we don't give another person our time or attention, or maybe we do just a little to say, hey, I'm really hurt and I don't like you. Those are all pieces of unforgiveness, and we don't think about it that way. Now, this selfish act is freedom. And what did God come for? What did Jesus come to walk on the planet for? It's for freedom, for you to be the whole creative, resourceful person that you're designed to be. You need that forgiveness, freedom. So as we look at this, the selfish act, why are people afraid of forgiveness? One, because they don't understand that forgiving doesn't mean forgetting. Doesn't mean not holding people accountable. Doesn't mean setting up boundaries. Remember, forgiveness, boundaries, trust. Doesn't mean all those things. All those things are components of it. And you have to admit some things. This is why people are afraid to forgive. So check yourself while I'm walking through this. I have to admit that life is not fair, which is scriptural. Jesus didn't promise us that things would go well. He didn't promise us that things would always go right. He promised to be there with us and that he would fulfill the desires of our heart according to his will, not according to our desires of, I'd like a new car right now, or I want my bank account full. He's going to fulfill it according to his will. We have to stop blaming others for our circumstances. That's a huge one. This goes into if he or she would just category. You have to stop blaming folks for your circumstances. If that is something that you're continuing to do, then you are continuing to stay stuck in that grievance story of the divorce that I used earlier. I'm divorced. That's how I identify myself. That's how I say who I am. That's how I say what my life focuses around. I'm staying stuck in this area. I'm saying, okay, I know who I am because I'm divorced, because I don't get to see the kids as much as I want, because I lost money in this area. That defines me, and that's how I make decisions. And I am still blaming that ex-spouse for the reasons that I make those decisions that way. And what God is saying, no, child, here is freedom. Here is an opportunity to be free if you will forgive and let go of those grievances. Now, again, hear me really clearly. That doesn't mean you don't hold them accountable. That doesn't mean you don't set boundaries. That means you let go of hurting them because they hurt you. You stop carrying around that mushy potato bag. You put it down and you say, I'm not willing to carry that anymore. This brings into the next feeling. The other reason why people are afraid to forgive is because they have to acknowledge that they are hurt, that they are sad, that they have hard feelings against this person. And talking with a client the other day, I'm normally a happy person. I want to be a happy person. Yes. And God wants us to be joyful. He calls us as Christians to be joyful. We have to pass through the hurt. If we stuff it, it is like sealing up that potato bag. We are sealing those potatoes in there. We're keeping those names on those potatoes. And we're not going to allow the release to happen. If we release these feelings, which is difficult, This often takes some work with a coach, with a therapist, with a small group, releasing these feelings, releasing the hurt, releasing the sad, releasing the resentment, releasing the justification. And we've talked about that in a lot of different places, especially in the Anatomy of Peace, is the gift of justification keeps on giving. Then I have to keep looking for somebody to blame. I can't live in forgiveness. I have to keep looking for a way to say, he hurt me, and I'm going to behave like a hurt person. Beloveds, I think you want out of that, or you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't be listening to what's going on. So when we are looking at our addicted loved one and we're saying, you keep hurting me, one, you're probably not doing good boundaries. Two, you're probably not pausing and seeing your part in it and where you are letting this in. And three, you're probably not experiencing the feelings. So when you keep giving your life over like that, you're going to keep getting hurt. You're going to keep needing somebody to blame. And unforgiveness, taking that poison pill and expecting somebody else to die, is going to keep happening. So the next one is we reframe the hurt. So by picking up the broader context, if I look at the scheme of my life, and I am divorced, I was married for 5 years. We divorced. He's a beautiful, wonderful person. I'm sure he's living a great life. But in the scheme of my lifetime, 5 years is becoming smaller and smaller window. So if we took a picture frame and we put my divorce in the picture frame, it's a very small part of the picture frame. Yes, it was dynamic. Yes, it was a defining event. Yes, it was something I don't want to repeat, but it was a small point at this point. 5 years in 50 is not a lot of time. So we need to reframe the picture and look at it more globally. And especially with your addicted loved one, when you're looking at behaviors, when you're looking at how they are acting, what in the global scheme of things is going on that will be so life-shattering that it will change everything? Yes, we all spiral down to they could die. All of us could die. What is it that you can do with your power? You are not powerless. What is it that you can do with your power and your forgiveness to change this situation? Still setting boundaries, still holding accountability, but connection. That's the opposite of addiction. How do you relook at it, reframe the picture, and connect? The next thing that people are really afraid of is to stop wishing it never happened. If we could change the past, a lot of us would have done it. If we keep wishing, then we stay stuck. We're still stuck in that grievance story. They have taken often, sometimes in childhood, sometimes in adulthood, they have taken something from us, something we can't get back. If there was abuse, sexual abuse, we can't get that back. But God has told us that he will, just like in the story of Job, he will give us back what the locusts have eaten. But you know what he's asking us to do? He's asking us to let go of that sack of potatoes, that abuse, that neglect, that hurt, that pain. That person who did it cannot correct it. Maybe they can make amends for it. Maybe they can do some things that will help ease it, like repay back a loan or fix the car or all of those things. But they cannot correct what happened in the past. It's over and it's done. By you hanging on to it, you are hanging on to just one more rotten potato in your bag. Then the other thing is, here's the really hard part, is to be humble and empathize. Everybody has hurts, habits, and hangups. Everybody has pains. And as we've talked about before, Brené Brown did a lot of research, and the people who are the most compassionate, who take the best care of themselves and those around them, look at others and say, I know you're doing the best you can with what you have right now. Even if you're sitting on the curb, I know you're doing the best you can with what you have right now. That's a really hard thing to accept. We want people to be different. We want them to change. But where does the change start? Nothing changes if nothing changes. And the only person you have control over is you and your forgiveness. So we come to the key here is you give up the right to punish. You give up the right to correct. It doesn't mean you don't let natural consequences happen. Set your boundaries. Boundaries are only things that you can control, right? You cannot control other people. You can control your boundaries. And I give this very simple example. I was not going to go drag my husband out of a bar at 11 p.m. because I wanted him to be home. But I could go to bed so that I could take care of kids in the morning. I released myself from responsibility for him and where he was at night and his safety because he's another adult. That's a boundary I could set, was taking care of myself so I could take care of my kids. I can't say, you know, you can't go here, not as another adult. And another person I was talking with said, well, I don't want them around me when they're drinking. That's great. Where are you going to go to stop that from happening? Are you going to your mom's, a girlfriend? Are you going to go out and do something fun for yourself if they're at the house? Where are you going to go? Because you can control that. You can't control their drinking. The final one is taking responsibility for your life. This is the reason why most people don't forgive, is because they don't want to take responsibility for their life. They want to stay stuck in their grievance story. He hurt me. She did this. It's always going to be awful. I don't want to clear this up because this leaves my life in the hands of somebody else. Let's pause for a minute. Are you willing to leave your life in the hands of somebody else? In the hands of anybody but Jesus? Are you willing to leave your life there? So as you take a deep breath around that, what are you going to do to free yourself from the grievance story? We've already talked about seeing the bigger picture. The other thing is to pause and say, where is this coming from? Have I not dealt with the hurt? Have I not dealt with the sad? Have I not dealt with the resentments and the justifications? That can often need a little more help to work through those. That may need, you know, going to a group, getting with a coach, getting with a therapist. That's going to need a little more help to dig through that, to really release it. So just like with that bag of potatoes, if we hadn't put them in the plastic bag, we could have baked them and eaten them, right? If we'd work through the process. But when they get mushy and gross and putrid, it takes more to dig through that. Bring that up, but think about releasing that, throwing away that infection. It used to feel like an infection up in here. It was an infection of unforgiveness, an infection of, well, I have the right to punish them. Yeah, maybe you do. Is it going to heal you? Is it going to release you from your grievance story? Probably not. If you need to go back and watch The Anatomy of Peace, correction is at the top of the triangle. Most of the time, it does very little good. Connection, teaching, self-healing, self-compassion, all of those things are what change us. Changing us changes other people. There's no way around it. It's just what happens. So the other thing to think about is the rest of your life. Who is the key player on stage? Who's the chief in the story? Yes, we believe Jesus fills us and keeps us and we're living out his narrative. But what narrative are you choosing to live out? This grievance story of I'm divorced, I have a person in my life who has addictive behaviors, so I can't move on with my life until that is fixed. If I am giving over all my power to you and saying I can't be well until you are well, you may be waiting a very, very long time. And they may never get well. But what if you get healthier, you heal, you work through your processes, and they notice? It's amazing when they notice. Maybe they don't notice, but you are in the world living your story rather than creating the story that somebody else has handed you. Who do you want to be? So that's why people are afraid to forgive, is mainly taking that responsibility for themselves. So let's go into the three phrases of how to handle this. And before I do that, there's a quote by Oscar Wilde that says, go ahead and forgive people, because it drives them absolutely crazy and makes them even more upset with you. So he says it's something like, go ahead and forgive your enemies, because it will make them the most upset with you. It's funny, I know, but it is. It's really what we're asked to do. So let me read you, I'll save that scripture to the end, but there are three phases on how to handle this. So one is, begin by handling the memories of things that are done and said in the past. I want you to hear this really loud and clear. Give up hope for a better past. Doesn't that sound awkward? Give up hope for a better past. You're not going to change the past. Phase two is to calm down that grievance story. Look at it in a bigger frame. Write out what happened. And then I encourage all my clients to do this. Talk back to it. What was going on around it? Were there job losses? Were there relationship losses? How big of a picture is it in the years of your life? Rewrite that story. So give up hope for a better past by handling those memories and looking at what was said and done, and then take it and rewrite it in the scheme of everything else that is going on. Because what's happened is that potato mushy bag has become the only thing you see. It's the only thing you smell. It's the only thing that you're holding. You are just totally focused on it. But there's so much more that's happening in your life that will be happening in your life. So you have to free yourself from the hurtful past to achieve the desired peaceful future. And when you learn to forgive, and it really is a learning step. I'm going to, in the next email, we'll send out the book that I've been using to work through some of this and the scriptures. When you learn to do this step, only then can you learn to forgive and experience peace in the present and hope. Because if you don't free yourself from the hurtful past, you're going to live there. And remember, giving up hope for a better past is one of the first things you're going to do. But if you free yourself from that hurtful past, then you can move into a peaceful future. So you are forgiving to live your life, not because they need it, not because they deserve it, not because it will do anything for them. It may not. But you, the third phase is forgiving to live. So let's end with a little bit of scripture today. So there's two little stories that I want to leave you with. The prodigal son, we always see the prodigal son coming back, but he doesn't even get to ask for forgiveness, right? The father has already forgiven him before he gets anywhere into the road, right? He's already forgiven. He's hugged. He's loved on. He's cleaned up. He's given a feast, all these things. Can you think about it? Every morning that the son is gone, the father is walking out and he's looking for his boy. He's walking out and he's looking for his boy. He's going about his chores and he's looking for his boy, right? Because he's already forgiven him. He, in that story, what that son did said, "Dad, I wish you were dead." But he's already forgiven him and he's put those past behind him. And he said, "I'm not going to let the hurtful past rule my life." That's the step there. Now, the next piece that is part of that rewriting of the grievance story is James 5:16. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. In all recovery programs, there is this piece of confession. This is saying, this is what happened. This is how I feel about it. This is how it has affected me. That step is necessary for getting that infection out. So what I pray for you today is that you are able to step in and look at the bigger picture, look at where your grievance stories are holding you up, and then even if it is confessing to God only, you confess where you have been holding on to this and identifying as a person who needs to harm another person. And we're asked not to do that. So let's pray and we'll wind this up. I would love to talk to you more about forgiveness. I know you're already in one of these two groups. If you're watching this, We have some great things that talk about if you're giving too much help, if you are stuck in a cycle of unforgiveness. So let me know, shoot me a message in Facebook or an email. Let me know how I can serve you. So beloveds, I am so glad you're here with me today, and let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for forgiving us first, as it is your character and as we model after your character. Thank you that we are learning so much by being in connection with folks who are struggling, folks who have addictive behaviors, our loved ones who we really want to see freedom for. And we can be an example of showing the way to that freedom, Lord. We thank you for this time, and we look forward to joining together again, because it is our connection with you and our connection with each other that changes everything. So, Lord, amen. Let it be in your Son's name, Jesus.
You, beloved listener, are creative, resourceful, and whole. Do you want to add more purpose to your sober journey? Do you want to make room for the new and make your dreams a reality? Apply today for a dream session. Go to tanyajoya.com. That's TanyaGioia.com and apply today. Let's get you dreaming about your new purpose.